Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The Justice Department is now looking into a handful of classified documents found in President Biden's former office at a foreign policy research center in Washington. It's a story first reported here on CBS News. Here's correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
The discovery of classified material from the Obama era at the D.C. think tank that bears President Biden's name was enough of a concern of the Justice Department's that the Attorney General weeks ago tasked the U.S. attorney in Chicago with running a review. That review has not yet been completed, sources say. The White House says it's cooperating. It's unclear what's in these documents or how classified they were, whether they were marked confidential, secret, or top secret, but a source says they didn't contain any nuclear secrets.
Authorities are now going door to door, urging thousands of residents in Montecito to get out ahead of possible mudslides during severe storms. KCBS Radio's Jim Taylor has the latest.
For some, too late to leave, though. Jason Hoppin, Santa Cruz Emergency Services.
The San Lorenzo River is backed up and is blocking a major intersection out of the San Lorenzo Valley, and there's further blockages. There's not a lot of ways south out of the San Lorenzo Valley right now, so all those folks are trapped.
23 people died in mudslides there in 2018. Damar Hamlin is back in Buffalo now, a week after collapsing on the field from cardiac arrest.
Doctors at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center say Damar Hamlin is on the long road to recovery.
A little bit of a ways to go in terms of his ongoing recovery. We're thrilled to where he is today. He's up. He's walking around. He's got an amazing, genuine sense of humor.
They say his breathing tube came out Friday, which is also when he started PT, the same week after suffering cardiac arrest during Monday Night Football last week.
Continuing to regain strength. He's certainly on what we consider a very normal to even accelerated trajectory.
Hamlin will continue his recovery at a Buffalo hospital. Matt Piper, CBS News.
North American leaders are meeting in Mexico today. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Today, with President Lopez Obrador, President Biden is looking to dive deep on a set of issues that are priorities for his administration, including continued close coordination on migration.
Fentanyl trafficking across the border is also on the agenda. Police in Newport News say a six-year-old shot his teacher on purpose last week during class. Chief Steve Drew.
Mrs. Zwerner was providing class instruction. The six-year-old child displayed a firearm, pointed it at her, and fired one round. There was no physical struggle or fight. She was providing instruction to her class.
Still no word on how the little boy got his hands on that gun, but it was purchased legally by his mother. Investigators say he pulled it from his backpack. The Dow lost 112 points today. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matmere with your headlines. Weakening Governor Evers' powers appears to be the goal of Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers who are pushing to get several constitutional amendments on the April 4th ballot. One requires the legislature approve how federal money is spent. GOP lawmakers repeatedly clashed with Governor Evers over how to allocate those monies during the pandemic. Another amendment changes the way people accused of a crime get out on bail. This will require court officials consider things like public safety and the person's previous record before setting bail. If the amendment passed, they changed the Constitution and therefore can't be vetoed by the governor. Meanwhile, Governor Evers told WISN he's absolutely not in favor of the amendment giving the legislature the power to spend federal money, saying, quote, "You think about what happened during this pandemic. You have a legislature that didn't come into session for 300 days and we got the money out the door," unquote. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Or vinaigrette mn.com.
Hey, I want to welcome everyone to this special edition of Native Roots Radio, and we are with Winona LaDuke, and we're going to be talking about the Rally for the Rivers reunion, and I'm so excited to see you, Winona. It's a great cloud, though, and we want to get things straight and get it out to our people, what's going on, and so totally stoked to see you, and we're all looking good here, but let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today, Winona. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and glad to see you too, Robert. Hey, we got some good people coming on, good water protectors, good Minnesotans, good Anishinaabe people whose crime it seems to be defending the rivers. And so this is the second anniversary of a bunch of us getting charged in Aiken County by Aiken County. And oh gosh, there was all kind of police officers there and all kind of state highway patrol and DNR guys, all paid for by Enbridge. And we still got charges. I got charges. And so I'm here because I'm wondering how come I got charges in Aiken County and Wadena County. In total, I think I got like 7 charges I'm still facing. And how come Enbridge isn't facing any charges? That's kind of the question I got. And so I think there's some other people that might have some questions, like how does a company get to come in here, steal 5 billion gallons of water, basically prostitute the police of the state of Minnesota, frack all those rivers, and go away, and they're still doing pretty good. So we're here to listen to some people that were there on the rivers.
It's such a weird thing, and you know, the question mark, it should be a big question mark, Winona. We're talking about people getting charges sent to them in their mail. How does that work?
I was charged by, I think, a video of somebody who said that I think I was charged with not being in the right place. And, you know, I mean, I'm just like trying to figure out, like, they used all kind of ways to try to encumber people in this process. And you have to wonder if, you know, all that money that they got from Enbridge kind of, you know, made it more interesting to try to charge more people. You know, I don't really know, but that's a question I might ask the state of Minnesota. It's like, why were 1,000 people charged with the crime of protecting the water when the corporation that violated all of our rights, you know, is still, you know, got a slap on the wrist, you know, but geez, they're still operating and they're holding us all hostage. We got like pipelines all across the north, all around the Great Lakes. These guys are holding us hostage and no one wants to ask the question like how that happened. So today we're going to talk about not only what happened, but we're going to have some lawyers on. We're going to talk about the cases, the charges, and a bunch of people like myself who were charged and are like, I think I want my charges dropped and I want a medal, you know, a medal for protecting the rivers. That's what I want. Just waltz, just one more time. No charges. And I want to be honored for being a water protector, not being treated like a criminal.
Exactly. You know, and there was ceremony going on. There was things going on, Winona. Can we talk about just the rudeness of the police? And, you know, we go back to Standing Rock, but you also go back to the to North Dakota fight for uranium. And, you know, what's changed other than social media?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say that this is more aggressive than in my history, you know, and I've been around a long time, man. I'm old, but, you know, I never saw anything like what I saw this last couple of years, which kind of is like late stage addiction issues, like where you just got to have that pipeline because you feel like it's going to be the thing you need. And we didn't even get the oil from it, but you just ramp everything up. And they learned from Standing Rock, $38 million worth of military repression against people out there. And then Minnesota's like, well, we aren't going to do that. We're just going to let, you know, Enbridge pay for it. And so, you know, for instance, I was charged, you know, being in my lodge. I was in my lodge on the Mississippi River. And then they put the no trespassing signs up as I was sitting in the lodge and then charged me with trespassing. And I was like, who's trespassing? And I was told by a DNR officer, normal people. No, he said normal people. I said, is that a legal designation? I mean, this is like a made up bunch of laws for a Canadian corporation. And I'm mad as heck. And I want some accountability. And you know, it's a shame that Minnesota didn't learn anything from George Floyd and instead militarized the North as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're all over Turtle Island, and we'll be playing this on Native Roots Radio, which is all over. We're Wisconsin. We're on 12 stations live. We got a big coverage in Wisconsin. Winona, they need to be aware of Line 5 because we saw what happened to us in Line 3, correct?
Right, and people are going to come on the show today to talk about exactly how egregious the crime is by Enbridge against Mother Earth and against people. We got people who have been doing the job of the state of Minnesota out there checking the water, you know, when the state should be checking that and finding out what's going on. And then we got, you know, the fact that they are brash. I mean, they're mad at in Wisconsin that the Bad River Band has said, you got to pull the pipe out. You know, because they're trespassing for all these years in the prime watershed, the only place these people got. And then in addition, did you see that Enbridge actually ran someone for the governor? I mean, they ran Tim Michaels for the governor of Wisconsin. Now, he didn't win, but geez, that's getting like super brash when you not only control the police of one state, but then you run someone for the governor. And so I think this is a really dangerous corporation for the state of Minnesota and, you know, not just Anishinaabe people, but for all of us. So that's right. Deport Enbridge. There's our fearless Jill Ferguson. I mean, that is it, you know, deport that Canadian corporation. And there's more Canadian corporations where that one came from. But, you know, so much for saying the Canadians are nice. I'm calling BS on that one.
Hey, Winona, that's for our radio audience listening to this. Let's get the call to action out there. honorearth.org/stop-Enbridge. That's honor.org/stop-Enbridge. We need people that need to, it's a call to action. Jump on that page and see what you can do, correct?
No, that is exactly right. Please do. Please jump on the page, and then we're going to give you some more resources to look at. But, you know, a lot of us are still facing charges in Aiken County. You know, and what's up, Aiken County? Why won't you just let us go? Acknowledge us for being the heroes that we are instead of continuing to pursue us in Aiken County, you know? So please go to the call of action here and join with us in challenging, you know, the unjustness of all of this, how an energy corporation, a rogue corporation, gets to arrest a bunch of people for the benefit of making some profits at the end of the fossil fuel era in a time of climate crisis. You know, I was like, this is egregious. This is totally egregious. So, you know, I'm glad that we're on here today. We're going to be talking to some cool people, like some of my favorite people of all are on today. And you know, in the age of StreamYard or whatever this is, you get to see your friends without traveling way up there into the bush, wherever it is that my friend Tara Hauske is.
Yeah.
You're right here.
Yeah, well, I'm revving up my teepee and going to, she's got the land back going on up there. That's beautiful. So, you know, we got like a minute left before we take a quick station break here, Winona. One of the things that I really want to ask you, and maybe we can ask the lawyers, I feel like from my comfortable little couch here in St. Paul, Minnesota, that you are being used as an example. What do you think about that?
Oh, let me just give you a perfect example. On Wadena County, Shell River, I'm appointed by the tribe as a guardian at litem for the Shell River. I camp on the Shell River. I'm arrested with six other women on the Shell River. Charges are dropped against all of those women except for me. I was like, and I'm still facing, I'm facing 5 years in prison for the charges of being a water protector. You know, and a lot of those are out of Wadena County. And so, yeah, I don't understand why they would not, you know, they dropped the charges against all the other cool people who came to defend the river from someplace else. But no, Wadena County has to keep me right in there, you know. And so I do feel like, you know, what are you trying to do? Make a case out of it, you know, and say, look, you know, to see what happens if you're like Winona, you're going to spend time in jail. So 5 years is what I'm looking at, state of Minnesota. You know, I mean, this is, it's totally ridiculous that I would face these charges. And my, you know, my case is, you know, there are young people facing serious felony charges that they're trying to destroy their lives. And that's wrong. You know, that's wrong. You know, our lives should not be destroyed for a multinational energy corporation. You know, we're doing the right thing. And I'm proud to be a water protector. And really glad to be here today to share with, you know, a bunch of other folks on a little bit of our story.
Exactly. Hey, Winona, we're going to take a quick 15-second station break for our outside listeners to do what they need to do and give their radio calls. But we're going to come back in 15 seconds starting now. Hey, we're with Winona LaDuke.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
Hey, we're coming back here. We're with Winona LaDuke, and we are, you know, part of me is, it's hard for me to say, Winona, it feels like a celebration, but it's really not a celebration. It's not a celebration at all. We are here protecting Mother Earth, and we are talking about our rally for the Rivers Reunion, you know, and we have guests coming on here, and we have Frank, and I want to hand this over
to you. My attorneys are here. Thank God.
I want to hand this over to you in the next 10 minutes and take it from here, because I think there's really some important questions and answers that need to happen. And we just lost Winona. How did we do that? Whoa, somebody removed you. Do you mind taking this segment over, Winona?
These are a couple of my favorite people. They're saving me from that jail time right now. So we have Claire Glenn. She came to work from us with us. It has been taking a lot of these Line 3 cases, and we're very grateful to her. She's been my attorney in Aiken. And then Frank Bebo, attorney for most of the tribal water protectors. And so you guys, there were a lot of people charged, and a number of those cases have been dropped or dismissed. Is that right? And then some of them, you know, tribal members in a different situation. Anyway, tell us a little bit about it.
All right, I'll just start a little bit. You know, Line 3 goes through a lot of northern Minnesota, and a lot of what it went through was through Chippewa ceded territories, and people were transferred under the setup that we had to a lot of the counties along the route of Line 3. But we had two counties that were a little more resistant. One was Hubbard, and that seems to have come along. And Aiken County is still standing out there and doesn't want to really look at things in the right way. And so we're dealing with Aiken County right now today. The tribal water protectors in many of these counties were transferred over to Whiters Tribal Court and Red Lake Tribal Court. That paused for a while, and we're going to get that restarted because there are tribal members who haven't had their cases transferred. But that's one of the big differences, the way we use tribal sovereignty here versus Standing Rock. And so by using those tribal rights, rights of Manoman, the right to travel, use, and occupy, we were preparing for what we saw happen at Standing Rock. But obviously there was a lot more that happened here. And so we're still plugged in for the future. You look at the Wadukawad people, they're working on all the infrared flyover information for the thermal imaging, where all the water has fracked out from all these river crossings that still need to be addressed, and Line 5. And so the work that we've done is going to continue over to Line 5, and that's what's important here as well. I'll let Claire talk about some of this now.
Thanks, Frank. And thanks for having us, Robert, and for that kind introduction, Winona. I think Winona really highlighted how during pipeline construction, the law enforcement response to water protectors here was really extreme and was meant to suppress and scare protesters. Hundreds of people were arrested and jailed, and ultimately about 1,000 criminal cases were filed, which is a lot when we're talking about rural northern Minnesota. We're now, about 1 to 2 years out, and there are only about 100 criminal cases that are still open. And, there's a few different reasons for that. Some people have fought their cases in court and won. Shanai Madison, who I know is going to be on later, had an amazing victory mid-trial because the court recognized there was so little evidence against her that the court just dismissed the case in the middle of the trial. We've also seen, prosecutors in other counties, as Frank mentioned, that have been, seeing the writing on the wall, and I think recognizing the damage that Enbridge did. And so water protectors in some counties have been able to negotiate dismissals. And, of course, it hasn't been all roses. And there have been some serious criminal sanctions that people have faced, and people are still being targeted and paying the price.
Wow. Yeah, how many people in the last year or 2 years have been, how many cases are still open? This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I would note too that, Aiken County is one of the most egregious counties in a lot of different ways. It's a county where we saw some of the most extreme and egregious policing. And it's also a county where we have, of those 100 cases that are still open across the state, almost half of those are in Aiken County alone. Aiken County is a place where the sheriff was the leader of the Northern Lights Task Force, which was formed to coordinate policing across jurisdictions. And we've gotten public records requests that have shown that this sheriff, Sheriff Gaida in Aiken County, and other Northern Lights Task Force members were directly coordinating with Enbridge representatives on everything from trying to influence the reimbursements that police were receiving to trainings and intelligence and surveillance. And more recently, Sheriff Gaida even detained and threatened to arrest two attorneys simply for trying to serve him with a subpoena for him to testify in one of these water protector cases, which is normally a routine task in any criminal case. I would encourage folks to check out the reporting that Simon Davis Cohen has done in multiple articles in Truth Out. And I think those will be linked at some point. But he's done some really stellar investigative journalism exposing law enforcement specifically in Aiken County, and I really encourage folks to check out his work.
So, Frank, can we talk a little bit about the cases that have been won and what the heck? I mean, people have been sent tickets in the mail for looking at them in social media. I mean, can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, the cases that have been won that I would call being won were starting to work through the pipeline at White Earth Tribal Court. We had set up jurisdiction across the 1855 ceded territory. A lot of these tribal water protectors cases were transferred to White Earth. The White Earth prosecutor went through with the cases. Claire represented a number of those water protectors. And ultimately, the tribal judge also issued a decision explaining how our tribal rights actually work. Treaties are the supreme law of the land, and dismissed those cases properly at White Earth. Judge Metzen, who's handling most of the tribal water protectors, she's recognized that White Earth was following through on those prosecutions, and those counties were in acceptance of that, and we're trying to get back onto that track. But that's really, in a way, the most important part for me, because the second phase of that, which we hadn't had a chance to get to yet, and it has been tried, is the invited guest defense. Because if we have treaties and we have a right to hunt, fish, and gather the natural resources across the lands, then like other places where they consider them property, they consider those property rights, then we should have the right to defend our property. And if you have a house or a home that's on fire and you want someone to help you, your friends to help you defend your property and put the fire out, they're invited guest defense. And that's what these people were, all of these water protectors. They also had a spiritual calling. You know, it's a different calling. It happened at Standing Rock as well. And so really, you're talking about First Amendment rights. You're talking about the American Indian Religious Freedoms Act. And those are the kind of concepts that we've been using to combat this, and why a lot of these cases have been dismissed along the way. And the ones that haven't, there's been a nice pool of attorneys from across the United States who have been helping out here. And they've had various strategies going forward and still going forward. And we're having cases dismissed and getting a lot better deals. And they'll be discussion about how that's going on as well. So while this is going on, we have been strengthening sovereignty along the way. This isn't what happened at Standing Rock. And we're not done, because our ceded territories here, for those of us who are Ojibwe or Anishinaabe or Chippewa, our ceded territories go from North Dakota to Michigan. And so we're plugged into defending our resources in and across Wisconsin and right over into Michigan across the waters. So, you know, I think the people are prepared to stand up more when they know that there's a legal defense for their rights. We couldn't stop the police because the police were being funded ahead of time. And that's a critical part here. Police don't necessarily enforce laws. They make a judicial call by the road when they've got someone. When you're being funded to do this, you're just throwing any discretion out the window, and you're doing what Enbridge was paying for. That's the real concern. Finally, the point I want to make about what's coming with Aiken is the Talon Mine, Tamarack, Rio Tinto, whatever you want to call it. They call it the Green New Deal, but the Green New Deal relies on resources that are very, very hard to find, and unfortunately are in northern Minnesota. And that's why we have all these mining cases going on and all the endangering of the waters in the same exact way. In this case, you've got both Line 3 and Talon Mine in the same county. And the same place that got funded for Line 3 wants to get funded to defend Aiken County for the mining.
Hey, I got a quick question. We got like 2 minutes left. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. How can someone like Winona still be up for charges when she was correct? I mean, we have all those frack outs. We have pipelines leaking. How is that even logical?
Well, you know, we think of things being legal and legitimate. The problem is we're usually not interacting with the court system very frequently. We're not criminals, so we misunderstand how the legal system and process works. What really happens is things that are unlawful, like the pollution of Minnesota, are legitimized by the PUC, by the DNR, by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. That's where the problem really lies. And so we're falling into this category where those people are allowing the worst polluters to go out and do this. Even if they're fined $14 million, we're going to pay at the pump to pay for their fine.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. CBS News has learned the National Archives and the Justice Department are investigating the discovery of a number of classified documents from President Biden's former office at his think tank in Washington. CBS's Stephen Portnoy reports.
Sources tell CBS News roughly 10 classified documents were found at D.C.'s Penn Biden Center in a locked closet mixed with other materials from Mr. Biden's time as vice president. The discovery was made as personal lawyers to the president were clearing out his old offices at the think tank that bears his name. The White House says once the lawyers saw the classified markings on the documents, they stopped what they were doing and called the White House counsel. That office then notified the National Archives, which took the documents and called in the Justice Department. We're told a review of this matter has been underway for weeks, being run out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago.
The documents included top-secret files but did not include any nuclear codes. They were found just before midterms. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Fuel suppliers have more time to catch up on deliveries in Wisconsin slowed down by bad weather. Governor Evers issued an emergency order Friday. It's the second one in the month's time. Weeks of cold and snowy weather have slowed delivery of home heating fuel like heating oil and propane. Look for Governor Evers' cabinet appointees to get confirmation votes in the weeks and months to come. That's what Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu tells the Journal Sentinel. Senate Republicans largely skipped routine confirmation votes during Evers' first term. That's left 185 appointments unconfirmed, including key cabinet positions. In sports, we may have seen the last of Aaron Rodgers as a Green Bay Packer. Commentators are speculating about his retirement after last night's loss to the Lions. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You find something you like, they'll bottle it for you right on the spot. Vinaigrette is located off 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis or at vinaigrettemn.com.
June, didn't we mug in the dust? I'm doing good. I mean, I'm back home after a long, long time away, back in the woods, back by the lake.
Wow, Tara, you know, we are excited to have you on. Haven't seen you. Well, I guess I am seeing you, but I've been in meetings with you, but I have not seen you in person. Congratulations on all the good things that are happening to you with your baby and all the things that are happening in a good way for you. Let's talk a little bit about a call to action, Tara. What does that look like, and how do we move forward on that?
I mean, I think there's a couple different calls to action as far as like the river contamination and like continuing to push the Army Corps of Engineers and stuff like that. But when it comes to defendants, which is, you know, why I'm here, to try to be a voice of a defendant. I think it's like, you know, Keith Ellison's back in office, you know, he's got his job. So keep pushing him as hard as we possibly can. You know, like this is, here we are 2 years later for a lot of us. For me, it's been over 2 years. And I mean, we're talking serious level state repression, you know, and intentional repression by the prosecutor's office in Aiken County and in other counties. You know, thinking about what's coming down the line, which is going to be some of the police brutality cases, you know, like the two of the felony defendants from Aiken County, for instance. I think about seeing those young people, very young people. One of them is just about to finish college right now and looking at years because of their felony. Sheriff Dan Guida had 10 people, including Enbridge workers, wrap ropes around their feet and pull them out of a pipeline. They scraped their bodies in horrible, you know, injuries, abrasions on their skin, bleeding, and just the sheer level of violence that happened there. And to see these charges continuing on is just like, you know, what kind of values are we really showing, that, you know, somebody that is trying to put their body on the line for the river, for the water, for the future of every living being on this planet is treated like that, when, you know, these are nonviolent crimes. We're not hurting anybody. We're trying to protect people. So yeah. Hit up Keith.
Yeah, well, and also there's a petition that you can sign that's on drop line 3, that's the number 3, charges.com, and that's flood the courts, that's get the petition out there. Again, drop line number 3, charges.com, and sign that petition.
When, you know, something else that, you know, you might have some thoughts about too, Tara, is that, you know, what we did, a lot of us got misdemeanor charges in Minnesota, but in Wisconsin, you stand there, you're going to get a felony, because Enbridge succeeded in making a, you know, it's called the ALEC laws. There's like a whole bunch of states that pass these laws that make it, you know, even harder to exercise any First Amendment rights. And, you know, that kind of criminalization of any dissent for the benefit of fossil fuel companies is super dangerous to, you know, any semblance of democracy.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually not just fossil fuels either. I mean, ALEC works for all kinds of different entities to continue to push against the rights to demonstrate. I mean, that's really their goal, is they want to continue their militarization of not just the police, but also the I think the fear mongering and the repression of the court system and people's rights. You know, I mean, they want criminal repression. That you see someone like, you know, Steve Donziger just like finally got released off of, you know, being on a home monitor for how long, right? For defending the rights of indigenous people down in Ecuador. I mean, that's, you look at Jessica Reznicek. I mean, she's in prison right now for protecting the water over against the Dakota Access Pipeline. And it's not just fossil fuels. It's, you know, Black Lives Matter protests. It's, you know, the right to choose. It's any sort of engagement of civil society, of people, about our rights to live. I mean, there's some pretty serious crackdowns happening. You know, I think about ALEC, it brings me back to years ago when we were looking at line 3. And I remember being in the Minnesota legislature at around, like, I think it was 11:30 at night. There's just a few people left. They're all sitting on the dais because they tried to pass one of those felony protest bills here. Tried like 7 different times to do it, and they failed every time. But I remember it was like 11:30 at night, and the legislators are all tired, and they're arguing back and forth. There's just a few of us watching. And the Democrats have the minority, but they're still saying, you know, can we get this one word taken out? You know, can we get one word taken out of the bill? And finally, the Republicans that's leading up the bill says, you know what, fine, you get your word. And I watched the ALEC oil representative walk up to the dais, whisper into that legislator's ear, and then walk back. And the guy says, you know what, actually, I take that back. We need that word. I mean, you're literally watching an oil lobbyist whispering into the ear of a state legislator. You know, that's what happens at 11:30 at night in the Minnesota legislature, apparently, because I saw it.
Wow. Hey, Tara, we're with Tara Hauska here, and we want everyone to remember to go to dropline3charges.com. You know, I'm 61 years old, and I remember all the talk about how South, you know, Sun City in South Africa, we in the United States have been living through that. And as indigenous people for 500 years. And so we're not kidding anyone. This is not anything new, correct?
No. And I mean, I think there's like a, I was just at a, I went for my first thing kind of back off of maternity leave. I went over to the Human Rights Defenders, Frontline Defenders Conference over in Ireland. And they hadn't really included a lot of representatives from North America and Canada before. Because there's this kind of like understanding that, you know, brutality around the globe is considerably worse, right? I mean, like not pain compliance, but they will actually like physically maim you in other places for standing up for your rights. But this year they did. I was there for what happened over in line three, and there was a representative from Wet'suwet'en, Slato was there. And I think it was like a kind of eye opening for a lot of these folks to realize that these powers that are all over the globe, right? Like the colonization and presence of US military and US influence all over the globe that causes so much harm to so many people, if you're on the wrong side of an issue, is here too, right? Like we're pushing back, we're trying to protect what we have left because they're coming for the last of it. I think it was pretty shocking for them to realize the level of surveillance harassment that is present here. You know, this is like an intensely militarized security situation when it comes to pushing back.
Yeah. So we have empty courtrooms. And when these cases are happening, how can our listening audience and people watching this all over Turtle Island support that? What ways can they support that? Can they show up? And how do we get them to know about all this?
Yeah, I mean, there's usually, we've actually been doing a lot of court rallies over the last year. Some of us did continue on with our court support work, move from jail support into court support. Had a lot of different gatherings for different folks in the court system. You can physically show up if you want. You can, share the hashtags. You can sign the petitions. And you can make calls to the governor's office. I would recommend making calls to the attorney general's office. So they know it's an issue and it continues to be an issue. Those are substantive ways to help, you know, that these folks stood up for your water too.
You know, well, to say Scott Bowl has case coming up on the 11th, right? You know, so we have some cases coming up, and I know that my case is on February 24th. There's a bunch of people whose cases are coming up, and you can go in person to some of those counties. And I have to just say, I was up in Grand Rapids a couple days ago, and they are expanding the prison and expanding the courtrooms. So, you know, that's the other thing is that it's not just about these cases. It's like, seems that there's like a lot of money involved in putting more people in prison and having more court in the North. And I think that, you know, those kind of questions really need to be asked about civil society. What are we doing here? That's your economic development plan, Grand Rapids. Put in a new jail. I mean.
Exactly. And Tara, you know, you and Winona and many people here have been arrested for the good of the world and the good of our indigenous people. We just need to keep talking about this. And what else can you tell our people that are listening all over Turtle Island?
I mean, I think it's important to understand, like, social change is not easily made. Right. It's important to understand that people didn't just go to line three to get arrested, that when we took those actions, they were not just about getting arrested and, you know, standing in front of a machine for a day or whatever and stopping it for that day. Yeah, you did actually get to do that. You got to make a multinational company stop work for a day, maybe, you know? You got people to see and to bear witness to the destruction of a sacred, you know? But I think, like, it's also important to know, like, because of those actions, we had the Army Corps of Engineers out here twice walking these lands, seeing the wild rice, seeing the drought, seeing the frack outs at the rivers. You know, that's enormous pressure to go from the, you know, grubby little band of campers out in the woods facing down a riot line. And then you got the White House nervous, you know what I mean? And their top advisors talking to you directly about their concerns about civil unrest. I mean, these are the people that are making the decisions, right? Like, it's not like we're taking these actions without thought. And I think the larger look at everything, the ripples that are created is, you know, you're inspiring people to, there is something you can do. I think in movement, especially around climate, like, it just feels so overwhelming. What can I do? How can I help? You know what I mean? It's this enormous existential question. And I signed the petitions and I sent in my letter and I called my legislator and we pushed through this bill. We did this and we did that. And we're still in the same boat. There is something else you can do. You can treat the earth like a relative and show up for your relative that's being harmed. You know, that's a very different action. I think that when you see people on the line like that, you know, you watch that spark of connectivity pass between them, between the relative that's in harm and the person that's standing in the way. You know, that's heart change, right? Like, that's more than just pushing on the legislators and the financiers and all the rest of the industry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt-A-Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts, plus you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. That's metrotransit.org/adopt.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MNsure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MNsure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MNsure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNsure.org. MNsure.org.
Hey, we're back here with a special edition of Native Roots Radio. I'm here with Winona LaDuke, and we're talking about the Rally for the Rivers reunion. Winona, we got a couple awesome guests here that are boots on the ground. I don't know if you mind giving them a quick who and introducing them to our listening.
No, really glad. I mean, there's Sister Dawn here who, you know, didn't miss a dang meeting. Like, we went to every meeting of that dang Enbridge at the PUC for years, huh? Skated down some icy roads, you know, white knuckling it, but try to make the system work. But here's Dawn Goodwin to talk about, you know, her experience here, in particular the headwaters of the Mississippi. And then Jeff Broberg has really been as a hydrologist coming on and geologist helping us really understand the depth of the crisis that Enbridge caused. And you know, there's these some folks that are out there, these guys are out there monitoring, you know? I mean, this is what the state was supposed to do, but instead it's the citizens that are out there. And so we're grateful to y'all. And you guys, why don't you give us a little update? I know, Don, you and I have some similar charges.
Yeah.
but beyond the charges, what you know, we got a lot of work we're doing.
Yes. Buju Gaga Gayashik Indigenous Gawa Babi Ganika Gundunjaba. Don Goodwin here, my English name, and I'm over here on White Earth, on the south end of Lower Rice Lake. And so I represent Indigenous Environmental Network and Rise Coalition. And my main project right now is I'm working with Wadukawad Amequag and those who help beaver. And so we have come together, a group of us citizens, and we have scientists on board. We have media, drone pilots, boots on the ground, citizen, lack of a better term, citizen scientists monitoring the water and what's in it and on the ground. So we witnessed many frackouts, and also we tried to warn Enbridge about reaching aquifers, especially in the LaSalle Valley. It happened before, and we knew that it could potentially happen again, and it did. And so there are three aquifer breaches that have been reported, and that is in Clearbrook, LaSalle Valley, and Fond du Lac. And we have suspect other aquifer breaches. And another area right now is Walker Brook. And there's some stuff going on there, a lot of water, and that is the Laurentian Divide. So through all of this, kind of stepping back a little bit, many years, 2 years, I received 4 citations. 3 of those citations were via mail. One citation said that I did not leave. I refused to leave, but they sent me a ticket in the mail. So, and I left. So some bogus charges. And I'm looking at 2 felony gross misdemeanors for being in ceremony and doing what I needed to do, carrying the staff. It was my duty to protect and watch over everybody when I'm carrying that staff. So now I'm looking at some crazy charges. However, the reason why is because I was trying to prevent crimes from happening, and they happened. And Enbridge was the true criminals in this matter. And recently in Clearwater County, they just got slapped on the wrist with a misdemeanor charge. And so I'm being charged way more than what Enbridge was charged with for breaching our aquifer in Clearbrook. That's a crime. That is our water. Yeah. And they're risking contamination, draining of those aquifers, particularly in Clearbrook. That is a calcareous fen, which is very rare. And I'm going to turn it over now to Jeff to talk a little bit about what's going on the ground as a geologist and what he's seeing with the water. So thank you for coming aboard. Thank you all for listening. Miigwech.
Great to see you, Don, and thanks, Robert and Winona. I'm Jeff Broberg. I'm a geologist. I live in Dakota Land in Winona County. And an ally. I'm really honored to be able to apply my science as a geologist to your lands. And I've really been moved by what I've learned that I never learned in the science textbooks. I never learned that water connected everything. Isn't that funny? It's what I hear from all the Indigenous people. And it's not my texts. But I understand, and think I can help describe how the Earth works. And we've had the wonderful experience with Wadukuwad Anakig that a group of citizens got together and said, let's deploy the science. The state isn't doing it. There's things maybe we can help and take up our space by documenting in a rigorous fashion what's happened with the pipeline. And if you think about the scale of it, I mean, it's 350 miles across the headwaters, the heart of our headwaters. And they're digging through and pumping and damaging and moving water from one place to the other with no respect for the connections, for no respect. It's a matter of a permit. And that's what we really need to get back to. I'm really stricken by the rights that you've reserved. I've worked close with Frank, and I think it's really important recognition. And the recognition is that these are rights that we all need, that we all need to protect wild rice. We all need to protect our water. We all need to protect the connections. And it's the thing that seems to be missing in our discussion with the state and the feds and everyone else. So Don, you might want to say a word about what we're continuing to do. We've got people on standby to take up space and watch the river and watch the water.
Yeah, so there's things that we've noticed on our thermal imaging. And so we'll be out and we'll continue to ground truth. There's also other spots over by Fond du Lac, in particular, Little Otter Creek area and Moose Lake. You might remember Little Otter Creek being the focus in of Enbridge when they were reapplying for their permits. And they did a little demonstration how they'd be able to stop any tar sands at Little Otter Creek and it would not enter into the Lake Superior. But they have no way to model that on a computer. So really, the community, the people have been duped by Enbridge.
Let me talk quickly about Walker Brook. That's the one we're looking at now, where there's work crews out there from Michaels, from the pipeline, out there where they tried to put the pipe through a bog. If you know a bog, it floats. We think the pipe's floating, so they're trying to lower the water level, pumping it down, pumping the water from the Red River of the North into the Mississippi, and they don't understand the impact on these connections. And that's what we're taking space to accomplish. So we need to look forward. There's other threats we're not going to undo a lot of what Enbridge has done, but we need to hold them accountable. We need to make sure that we document these things, that it's part of the discussion for Line 5 and every other permit that comes through, that digs through our headwaters. We need to keep up the political and regulatory pressure by talking to the governor and demanding that we move forward. So come to our website, Wadukuwad, on YouTube. You just put in WAA and it'll pop right up. We'll show you the drone videos and show you the great work that all these dedicated people who are showing up for our relatives.
Hey, Winona, we're going to take off here.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.